Farshad, talk into the mic just a little bit more.
Testing 1, 2.
And especially
talk like
try,
a normal
try
human
doing
man,
it.
Please.
Yeah, yeah. Try okay, just doing so, it like a
all
man.
All right, man. I'm just talking like a man.
There
why,
you
why,
go.
Why is it all confrontational?
There
it's
you
a,
go.
It's a podcast. Why are we confrontational?
Hey.
No, because when I ask you to do something like that, yeah. sometimes you immediately go. Hey,
like when I knocked. Like when I knocked at your door.
You start whispering.
Yeah. Quiet. Exactly. You're the worst. Every time he had to come to my door or my hotel room, he would just.
It's just letting you know there might be someone at the door.
I'm just being polite. I'm just.
My favorite is housekeeping. I was taking a shit in New York in the room. Remember we left that day and we came into the hotel for a second because we were shooting 2 episodes in a row?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had to go to my, we went upstairs and then I told you guys, I need to go downstairs and switch my do not disturb to come do my room.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Went downstairs, grabbed my thing. Turn it around. I flipped it to the, please make the room now. And the lady was just right there.
Oh, I remember. She goes, would you like your room cleaned?
She goes, there you go. And I go, yeah. She goes, in 5 minutes, we'll start. Thank you. Came back 2-3 hours later, trying to take a crap, like a, you know, just regular person. I walk in and the room's not done whatsoever.
Of course not.
And I go, fuck, all right, whatever. It's not a big deal. So I change the sign and I put it backwards, like, not now. Okay. Close the door, go in, do my business. And as I'm doing my business, I started hearing like banging and all this shit in the room. And I go, babe. And I hear silence and I go, oh no, housekeeping.
Oh,
housekeeping.
Man.
Oh, and I go, no. She goes, you want me to come back? I'm like, yeah, you want me to come back later? I'm taking a shit right now. What the fuck is this?
That's incredible.
And then she knocked 7 more times.
That's a really long shit, no?
Well. Hey, we had to work really hard while we were there.
On a side note, that was a great hotel, by the way.
Can we start this podcast?
Let's start this podcast because today is what day? Can you please tell me the date, Pedro? I'm completely lost.
The 27th?
It's actually April the 27th, 2017,
yes!
Pedro. You're Pedro. This is Farghini. I'm Alejandro, and let's talk about cars. You hit it, Pedro, however you're going to hit it. Oh,
Whoa, come
man.
On.
Look
what
he
just
did.
Happened there?
Look what he did to his headphones.
I got you guys. I got you guys. He was definitely going to drop that camera or the light if he did that.
No, it wouldn't have.
Oh, 100%.
That would have been a
See, we're good. I'm just losing my headphones.
What do you think?
That added nothing to it.
What do you think?
I think, Pedro, you shouldn't have done that.
Why?
Now we have to readjust the camera.
I think that was a great block.
It's all good there. Farshad, can you please grab my hat?
I'll just be honest with you. I think that was a great block.
It was very Draymond Green of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who that is.
Very LeBron James of you.
Thank you. Thank that one I'll take.
Thank you, off the camera guy.
Why do you go all the way to the right, to the front, to throw it like you're going to throw it close to that? And it literally just came this way.
It's because on the depth of field and the lens will make it look like...
Like he was close?
Yeah. Granted, I know what depth of field means.
Guys, welcome to the podcast today. We have a lot to talk about. We had a lot of fun in New York City this past week. I think we're finally recuperated from the travels, the event, everything that happened.
I'm still adjusting.
Are you?
I'm old now.
Still trying to figure it out?
I'm old, dude. I need like 7 days.
What are you adjusting?
I for everything. It just didn't stop. And then when we were done, I had husband duties, which you all know those are the most tiring duties of all time.
No, I took my son to Disneyland yesterday. That's tiring.
Wait, you're talking about when we were in New York? You're talking about when we were in New York,
yeah,
right?
While we were in New York.
Oh, got it, got it. I see what you're saying.
He had two shifts.
No, I had double shift.
You didn't do anything.
You got out of work.
You went and had dinner and hung
afterwards,
out.
Afterwards, I had to go to work. You know what I'm saying? And that's not sexual.
But the real work.
Like real work.
Like real, that's real labor.
Like real HD. Like,
explain what you had to do.
Husband duties, you just got to go out there and perform the best so that your wife is happy with your performance in front of others.
Did you perform
at
the
all
best?
Times?
That's what I was going to ask.
I gave it 100%. 110%.
But sometimes your 100% is like not 100%.
Like which, 72%.
Which 100% did you give?
I gave it 110%. I gave it the full enchilada.
Okay.
You know what? That actually annoys me a little bit. Why do people say 110%? You can't give anything 110%. I'm sorry, you can't.
If you're Mexican, you can.
No, you can't give 110%. There's no way to give 100%. Okay, it's such a stupid way of analyzing anything. You can't do it.
If someone was going to give me 110%, I'd be like, all right, that's good. I want to know that.
I'll be honest with you. I'm 110% there with you.
All right. Well, since we're back from New York, I do want to ask a couple of things. Like, we had a great time. We met a lot of people. We met amazing group of fans on the East Coast. I couldn't believe how many people like just
showed up.
Didn't have anything else to do during the day, and they came and saw us.
That was incredible, guys. Thank you so very much. I've never in my life seen or experienced anything close to that.
No, no, it's impossible.
That was crazy, 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 crazy.
But what was your favorite thing? What was your favorite thing there? I mean, one was meeting the fans. That was amazing beyond belief.
Is that it for you?
No, that's not the only thing, but that was...
Are you going to give a couple of options? Farghini, what were your favorite things about this trip?
I'll give you one. Well, I'll just talk about the auto show part of it for now.
Hit it.
Have you been going to auto shows for most of your childhood?
For a few years, yeah, I'd say so. My childhood, because when I was a kid, I didn't get a chance to go to many things. But when I grew up a little bit more, yeah.
Okay, so I've been going 20-something years to the LA Auto Show.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, it's actually a great auto show. And every year you go...
You don't have to lie, you know that, right?
And it's always the section with the Ferraris and Lamborghinis that you never have access to. You never get to go in there. And then when you see people in there, you're like...
Who is that guy and how is he getting in there?
Yeah. And you know what? That was us. We got to be inside that section.
Did you feel like that guy finally?
I felt above that guy. I was like, how amazing in this. It's like everyone's there to, not everyone, but like they're there to see us. And now we're in that section and we're like talking to people. And it was amazing. Yeah. Really, really amazing.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I wish we would have done a little practice on like signing on weird random objects.
I also never expected people wanting us to sign so many things.
No.
Or anything at all whatsoever, but that was insane.
No.
What else was your favorite?
Second favorite part. I think you were standing next to me. This lady comes. People were taking pictures
I
with
was
us
right there. I knew exactly where you're going.
The lady goes, what does the lady say? She goes, excuse me, can you move out of the way?
She's like, I'm trying to take a picture. Excuse me. Excuse me, I'm trying to take a picture. Can you please move, sir? And I was just there like, of course, and I got out of the way.
I had one similar to that where she walked up, or this lady walked up and said, hey, can I take a picture? And I was like, sure. And I started to pose. And she was like, no, the car. And I was like, wow, what a douchebag I am.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, at that point, you just got to own it and be a tool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because if you, and at first when I got there, I was like exactly like that. Like, can I get a picture? And I would move out of the way and they're like, no, can I get a picture? And then I would pose and then they were like, no, of the cars. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go with a whole, I'm going to go with a full enchilada and be full douche mode and just own it. Fuck it. Because it's confusing. No one tells you like, how do you react to people that might know you, but they don't. Do you feel like people know you? Do you don't? What do you do? Like, It's a weird approach, right?
Right. And then this other lady was like, because all people were coming, taking pictures. She goes, did you design this car, the Koenigsegg?
Oh, yeah.
I go, no. I designed this car. And I pointed to the Spyker, right? 3 minutes later, I go by. That lady's grandma comes and goes, hey, what's going on?
No.
And the lady goes, look, he designed that car.
Why are you lying to ladies at the auto show?
It was amazing. It was incredible.
And of all the ones you picked the Spyker. Come on.
Not saying anything bad with the Spyker, but come on. Like, there's a Koenigsegg right fucking there.
I think Spyker does have one of the most beautiful interiors of any car out there. It's amazing.
It honestly reminds me of a jazz club.
It does. It does. And that was one of my favorite moments of New York. I went to the Blue Note in New York, which is a
jazz club.
It's a legendary jazz club. And there was a guy there, Arturo Sandoval, who is a legend. He was a prodigy under Dizzy Gillespie, who is one of the pioneers in jazz music, in my opinion.
I mean, all the guys here know exactly who you're talking about.
Some of them do. I got messages. I got messages.
I actually know. I feel so stupid after
you told
me that.
But it was amazing. I had the best time that I've had in a long time. And I was there by myself. I was sitting at the bar. I was overlooking the performance. I just had so much fun. I was just tapping, bobbing my head, you know, just scatting along.
Enjoying
it. It was so much fun. Yeah, I really took it in. And then another favorite moment for me was seeing Wattesa's his Koenigsegg.
Oh, that thing was crazy.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I know I've said this already, but the way that the blue interior in that car with the top off and the white, it just glows. Like the car just glows.
It's just the most beautiful blue interior I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of blue interiors out there. but this is the most beautiful.
Yeah, the guts on that car is
so
crazy.
Good. Yeah.
I can't wait to see that land here in LA. It's going to be amazing. And what, Tess, I'm so happy for you, brother.
What, 3 years?
Yeah, good
years?
For you. Congratulations.
3 years, 4 years?
All you need to wait for is just for like President Trump to like do his thing and go for another 3 years. No, they're saying that they're close.
Or you wait till the new 25-year rule, right? Just wait 25 years.
Oh, my God. President
Trump. You know what?
He did a great thing today, though, which I won't get into.
Tax cuts, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't go in. They just proposed.
You know what?
I know.
We should talk about that on the next podcast. By the way, not the tax cuts, but the 25-year rule. I want to look at a list of cars that are coming up.
Amazing,
that are
becoming
available because you got to be ready for those. That's a really smart move.
That is.
You want to see what's coming. You want to buy them in Europe right now before they get expensive.
Yes. We should.
We'll
put together a list.
Yeah, maybe do a shopping list. Get some deposits and we'll go shopping in Europe.
Yeah, so if you guys want to send a deposit, the Prince of Nigeria was asking me to help him. So if you guys feel like sending him some money, he'll send you $39 million if you just send him $500,000 dollars. So please do.
What about you? What was your favorite moment?
I'm going to be hated for this one. Are you serious?
Come on.
Getting the Zinger hat.
Oh.
I am so sorry, guys. That to me was like a tremendous highlight of my trip. I thought that was an incredible accomplishment. I've never gotten anyone to give me anything by asking like that.
What's the one observation you and I made, Pedro? What's the observation you and I made about that?
You have to start doing that more.
I hate asking for things.
But you're not on your knees begging for something like, please, please give me this. You're using a talent that you have.
You went into a gear I've never seen you go into. And you went into it and you just...
You went to charming mode.
No, I got on my knees with this woman.
No,
but you didn't.
I wanted that hat and I thought he was ridiculous and retarded and who cares? Does that make sense? Like, I never want to call someone and be like, hey, man, can you this or would you...
But that was important for us that day to get that hat. Right? And so you turned it on to get what we needed to accomplish what we needed to accomplish.
My Zinger hat is just like the most special thing I've ever
done. It's like when a British person walks into a room to command a meeting.
Yeah,
they're immediately charming and whatever they're doing, that's immediately sold.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like
we know a guy like
that. That we do. I think the Zinger sandwich and obviously I think like you're saying, the people.
Yeah.
That was insane. Insane all
around.
The
people we met and the connections we made.
Well, we met some fucking amazing people there that I knew who they were, but never knew anything more about them other than who they were. And now we're like closer with those guys. We got to meet their friends. We got to meet other friends. Like it was like the real New York car experience.
What about like Brian and Miles from Manhattan Motor Cars?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, because I knew Brian and, you know, all of those guys. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Those guys, they were incredible.
Brian's a legend.
He really is. Yeah. He really is.
The stories he told and
He's other level. And he was so easy to deal with, and he just let us run with what we had.
Oh, he gave us the keys to the entire
place. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Manhattan Motors, for that.
Itself was a great honor, getting the keys to any place we wanted to go to in Manhattan Motors.
And he let us take an Aventador S for a test drive.
Yo, so how incredibly well that went.
Oh, man. They were so upset.
I know, but everybody we didn't do anything about it, guys. And then everyone commented, Shmi drove one on ice 2 months ago. We're saying on the street, just driving Manhattan cars. We understand that Europe has a different schedule. They don't loan those cars. I'm sorry, guys. We're not press.
But you know what? We're going to start using your charming abilities.
Never.
To start asking.
Yeah, never.
No, on the big asks. On the big asks.
Never. Not
what
a chance.
Never. That was a big ask.
Not a chance. The Zinger hat was a big ask.
Right, I'm saying the next big asks.
There you go.
Why not? Why not? Why not ask?
I hate it.
Why not ask?
I hate asking, especially with these people that were saying that all I do is just like beg for cars for people and blah, blah, blah. It bothers the shit out of me because I don't. I've never had it and I never will.
Yeah.
Period. That's it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just a struggle within me.
We'll reserve that. We know the skill set's there. We'll reserve for something like a big ask. Yeah.
We'll have like a
Amazon Prime or something.
No, no, no. You know when that's going to happen? When I go to jail. For any reason, if I got into a fist fight, if whatever happened to me and I go to jail, That's when I'll throw it in there with the cop. I'll be like, come on, sir. You don't have to take me there. And then he will 100% throw me to jail.
Yeah, he's going to say, shut up, Jose. You're going to jail.
That's about it. Yep.
But no, New York was fun. We all had a blast. We had fun. We're back. We're ready to hit the grind and start going. But while we were gone, there was a lot that happened. And I think there was some news that came out while I was at the jazz club just hanging out. And it's very relevant, and I'm excited about it. It's the 488 GTO. We're getting a GTO.
Oh, how exciting, everyone.
Oh, come on. Come on. You got to admit this is gonna be fun.
What's the specs? What are we working with?
So there's not much information that we know on the car right now, okay. other than it's just going to be a track focused
hardcore version of the 488.
It's like the 458 Speciale.
So is that going to be the Speciale of
the
488 line?
It is. So they're saying that it's going to be upwards of 700 horsepower, and it's going to go from I think the 488 right now, the GTB, is 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Or no, 0 to 62 in 3 seconds, but it's 2.9. 0 to 60 miles an hour. But this one is supposed to be 2.7. Yeah, so 0 to 60, 2.7. It's a reduction of 165 pounds.
Who's giving you those numbers? Ferrari? Oh, okay.
No,
so
no, no,
they
no.
must be good numbers.
No. We negotiated. We negotiated those numbers with a third party, so.
Oh, gotcha.
but they did say that this car is going to be a much more expensive version because of its limited availability. So you guys can take that for what it's worth. Even I know that's a little bit of rubbish.
But how crazy is it that you know that? But yet, everyone that's going to go buy a Ferrari is like in complete denial.
I don't know. I don't understand. Like, it's gotten to a point now where people are just like hoping that that's the case, so that their value continues to appreciate. Because that is something that Ferraris do. They do hold value, but it's because of this. And we've talked about it prior to this. Is that it's a fake value. It's a fake value that is this giant bubble that's going to pop one day, and I'm just going to be sitting there collecting them.
I think it's going to take a long, long time before it pops, because all the older guys and the younger generation that's going to inherit all those cars are still going to keep them. After that interest is not going to be there. So that's a long...
Yeah, I understand that. I understand
long
that.
Play.
And it could take a big scandal. It could take a big scandal to put Ferrari.
How many more scandals?
What else do you need? Hang on.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, how many more scandals do they need?
A big global federal scandal to pop up. I wonder if there's any out there.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be like soon, like Ferrari CEO commits like massive murder and kills like the president of a huge country. But not really.
But the new 48. But it's GTO is on schedule.
But it's fine. Don't worry about it, guys. It never happened. And they're going to go like Men in Black on your head. And just you're never going to remember that.
So here's something I'm curious about. Is they're saying that this car, the 488 GTO, is supposed to compete with Porsche's GT2. And to me, just the prices between the two cars alone, like the disparity between the two, I don't understand how you can put them in the same category. Even though the GT2 is a monster track car, it is going to have all the performance specs that are more than likely going to beat the 488 GTO. But just those values alone, there's a lot of confusion.
That's one thing that Porsche has always done really, 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 really well, right?
Yeah.
Keep those prices super low on their cars, and they always give you the most value for the car that you're buying, and at least that's what they've been doing so far lately.
Right.
I think ever since the 997, they've been doing that. And now it's getting crazy to the point where the Ferrari, the LT, like all of those cars are getting so fucking crazy out there in price that why would you spend so much money on that when you can get one of these? You're just going to be... well, the problem is also going to be a limited production car, for real,
right,
with a number plate on it, which I know it's crazy, but...
Well, I mean, it's a lot of these companies. They continue to want to kind of keep their hand in like the resale of the cars, right? So they know that they're making a great vehicle to some extent. So, you know, if a Ferrari sold for $180,000, say that was their sticker price, not a California, but one that is close to the production cost that it made, just a little bit of market. Let's say so. That car is still going to appreciate. It's going to appreciate in value. It's going to go up, but they're trying to limit the difference in the appreciation so that they can make as much money as possible, which is fine. I understand that. That's what a business is all about. But then you're getting to a point where you're just, I think, diluting the market in a way, right? Like,
you 100% are. The problem is no one's got the balls. Like, there's a bunch of kids there running around saying that they have all these VINs. And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way. I just mean there's a bunch of kids that say, hey, I have these many numbers, VIN numbers of a LaFerrari. I have these many VIN numbers of this limited edition car. And newsflash, there is way more than they said.
And we've met with other collectors and people, and we've
and they know,
and they know. All know. They joke about it. It's just kind of
like the thing. Ha!
Yeah,
it's fine. That and that's what Farshad and I are saying. What's the line at that point?
Yeah.
When is there ever gonna be a line? No, I mean that Balboni line seems to be huge.
It's adjustable. It's like an adjustable Balboni line.
It adjusts.
Yeah.
God damn. But that's gonna be a great car, man. Come on, mid-engine Ferrari have always kicked ass. Always, even if it's gonna be a turbo car. I'm just hoping they're not gonna make it as raw and as intense. And I know that sounds completely backwards, right? Like the 458 Speciale.
I get it.
I thought that car was just way too much for nothing.
You want to be able to go to the jazz club and then go to the track.
Yes.
Look, the best compromise car out there, to me, obviously, in my opinion, is the GT3 RS. You can drive the shit out of that every single day on the street, and you take it to the track, and once you high rev it and like gives you all the noises and all the experience that you want, and it's amazing on the track, that's exactly what I like these, the Performante and the 488 GTO to come out like.
I hope so. And honestly, I don't...
They have to.
I don't want the 488 GTO to
they
be...
They have to.
Yeah, I don't want it to be as stripped down as the Speciale, because I didn't like that car. It was too much, in my opinion, but when I saw the actual 458... I was like, wow, this is really nice. This is fun. But it's funny you bring up the RS, because I saw you this morning looking at some reviews about the GT3, which I think you already have it on order, right?
I do. Oh, my God.
What did you find out about it? I haven't seen anything on it.
So a quick rundown on that. It's obviously a 4.0 liter engine, so everyone now is saying, well, it's got a 4.0 liter engine. It's got a manual. The 911R is useless now. And I was watching the reviews because I wanted to see how different it was going to be from the 911R, how different it was going to be from the regular GT3. And what they did is they grabbed the engine, the motor from the cup car, and they put it in that car. So it's making the car a higher revving car. It's also making it more twitchy, more nervous, more exciting to drive on the track, louder. It's not going to be as raw and, how would you say the opposite of muted, like the 911R? It's exactly, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be as intense. So this one is just going to focus more on like, oh my God, this feels like an instigator. This is going to be an instigator. Whereas the 911R definitely just took a seat back saying, I'm just the greatest fucking cruising car you'll ever drive in your life. And you're going to hear every single amount of noise that you want. And you're going to feel every single bit. Farghini, you drove the 911R yesterday.
Guys, let me tell you something.
You did?
I did. Let me tell you something.
Nice.
The greatest vehicle of all time to be in fifth gear going 40 miles an hour down traffic on Topanga Canyon.
I'm dead serious. No, but nice. Isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't go more than 60 in it, but I
come on, you can tell the truth. This is a safe place.
No, I really
no,
did
we
go,
were together.
But I pointed out the stuff that I, the characteristics immediately. I was like, oh, the steering, the lightness.
How light does it feel?
It feels so light and delicate, yet so strong and indestructible. And the steering, the steering, greatest steering I've ever felt under 50 miles an hour.
So they're gonna make that car, and the reviewers are praising the shit out of the GT3, and it looks insane. It looks like candy. It's so great looking, and everyone's just praising how great it is on the track and how great it is to drive. No one's driven it on the street yet, and they had to drive the automatic one, the PDK, because they don't have the manuals yet. That's going to be a later production. But even then, they were just praising the motor and how it felt. And Chris Harris was saying that the new engine on that car makes the 911R's engine feel a little muted, a little,
wow.
Which is fine. But that's what it is. That's what people don't understand. These two cars are not meant to be the same car. And now that they're making a clear separation on both, I understand to the regular market to. Regular people that just look at a car and say, it's a manual, it's got a flat six, and it's a 4.0 either way. So one's better than the one that can go faster is better. No, there are major differences that are so subtle and small that make up for a huge package. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And now seeing the GT3 and how sexy it is, I cannot wait to get mine.
I thought I overheard when you were watching that review, they were saying something about the... I think the compression in this engine is higher to make up for the power loss.
I have no idea about
which
that.
Which is giving it that like twitchy feel, that like ready to go. It's giving you more power with what it has.
I'm not as educated on that as I'd like to be.
What is the price of a GT3?
They're gonna be around like base around 130, 145, I think. That's what they were before. And they were like 120, 135, 140, like base.
Wow. Did you order a manual or a PT kit?
A manual. So but a manual with PTS. So if they actually allow me to do all of those things, which the manual should be fine, but I also want the racing seats, which will be a pain in the ass, always back ordered. I'm looking at like next year. There's no deliveries of those before January, February of next year. That's what they said, but you never know until they're about to build the car.
How many horsepower does it have?
500. No, 515.
So it's just like the RS?
It's got more power than the RS. It's got more. Or is it 500? Now I'm a little confused.
It's 500.
It's 500, yeah. So it's just 500. It's just like the RS, but it's the same. The RS has the same amount. The R has the same amount of power. They all have that 500 horsepower. The thing is, this is a different engine.
Right.
Would you take a AMG GTS or a GT3?
No.
Same price, right?
GT3. But the thing is, the GTR is in such a good price range. It's literally like the GT3. So I think, because I haven't driven the GTR, I'll take the GTR over that.
Hmm.
Well, having the manual, it's not like I'm going to take one over the other. I'm getting them both, and whatever like is best will stay, period.
I think looks-wise, the AMG GTR is going to look like a monster compared to the GT3. It just
because
will.
It's green, no? You don't think so? Or do you think all around, period, it just looks better?
The green does have something.
It helps
something
a lot.
To do with it. Yeah.
It really honestly helps a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Color is such an important thing to the cars. I know that a lot of people like their cars understated, but it goes to show, like with your CGT, as soon as you change it to that ruby stone red, it's a whole nother ball game.
Oh, like a brand new door opened up, right? With that, that's crazy. What a nice color can do for the right car.
Yeah, you're right.
The right color in the right car is just. Not saying that's that, but it is.
I agree with you. You're right. You're right. This one time. But speaking of Mercedes and your GTR,
yes,
this is some awful, awful, awful news in the automotive world today, especially with Mercedes. Like, I cannot believe that this is happening, but they're killing off the SLC, which is formerly known as
what
SLK.
A piece of shit. I was like, wow, what bad.
Can you believe
news
that? Can you believe that? Allie,
you killed the SLK?
This is like a part of your life and growing up, like dying right here.
I'm not going to participate in this conversation, guys. That's simple.
For those of you that are new to the show,
no.
Alejandro and I met in 2005, and the car that he had when we met was a red SLK. I thought it was cool then. I didn't know what I was looking at there, too.
You know, I was just a little girlier.
Yeah.
A red SLK.
It wasn't good. I mean, let's just imagine. Just imagine we go back in time, guys.
Oh, no.
And imagine Alejandro in a red SLK.
Let's not imagine Alejandro in a red SLK. No.
You know what? I'm proud of you. You've come a long way.
No.
You've come a long way.
You graduated to a pink CGT.
There goes. I was actually reading some of the comments. Someone said, oh, this rich motherfucker, you moved to New York and you try to like lease a turbo. I said that I found out what leases were and that they were loaning you, like giving you a car for $2,300. I thought you could like literally get a car for like as many months as you wanted. So if you had like $2,300, you could pay the car for 6 months and then just give it back. I thought that's what a lease was. And then I moved to LA and I'm like, all right, here we go. Lease, boom, boom, boom. And then they explained to me the whole everything that goes attached to it. SLK.
Good for you.
Looks like we're getting SLK.
SLK. SLK is the... Yeah. That didn't go that well either.
Is it a four-banger?
Can I also tell you, they depreciate a lot.
Well,
they depreciate
up until now.
Quite hard,
up
guys.
Up until now. Now, because they're killing it off, they're going to be rare, and it's going to be on the verge of appreciation.
No.
They're lucky to even sell the ones they have.
I'm going to tell you this. I think whoever got like the SLK 55, like the right one with the... That dude might have a shot at killing it later. But that's it.
But they're
nobody
expensive
else.
Too. They're very expensive.
But when they came out originally, they are, but now they're not.
No, now they're expensive. They're like 68, 60, but the new 70, ones. Yeah, the SLC.
No, no, no. We're talking about like used ones with the SLK 55.
Oh, got it, got it.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, look,
are they really killing the car, or are they looking into killing the car?
It's already out of their cycle plan. It's already out of their cycle plan. I think they're making room for like the GTSs and all that. Like if you want that kind of car, that's what you have to go for. Other than that, you need to get into the cabriolets.
In what category were they competing with that car? With the TT,
the Z, yeah, and the Z whatever it's called.
Z4?
Z4, yeah.
And now, do people still buy the Z4 with all the shit that's out there?
I honestly, also, I never see those on the street.
Hang on. Hasn't the Z4 been around like for 11 years? I'm dead serious.
I think so. But 13 years. Like, it was Z3, Z4.
No. The Z3 finished like 13 years ago, no?
Right, Pedro. I haven't seen them on the street for a long time.
No, I haven't either. I've never seen them. Honestly, but I'm also not ever looking for them.
Why not? They're beautiful BMWs.
I would like to take a Z8 out.
But hang on, the TT's going stronger, and now the TT, they're making it like manlier by saying like it's a good that you can drive, and it's hardcore, and it makes pop-ups and all that shit. Yeah. Remember Hutton was telling us, like, there's a really fast one that you need to drive.
There's a five-cylinder one.
We know somebody that just got a TT.
Who?
In New York.
Sorry, that's an inside joke, guys. We're going to leave it there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but there's no room. I don't think there's room for that class of car.
No. I don't think so either, because in the price range we were talking about, all the stuff that you can get.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather get like an A45 AMG, for example? Wouldn't you rather just get even a CLA45 AMG? Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't you rather like spend some money in the GLC? Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's so many options now with not only Mercedes, with all car manufacturers, that why keep that car
alive?
But that's exactly
what Mercedes is doing. That's why it's kind of falling out of the cycle plan, is because they're trying to find a car in their lineup for every niche and possible scenario out there.
You know which one I think it's going to be next?
What's that?
The SL.
Yeah.
What, to get killed?
Yeah.
No way.
I don't
know. That will never. There are too many dentists.
But I
in
think
Los
now
Angeles.
They're not buying that car anymore. No. I would have agreed with you like literally a year ago. Today, with all of the cars that are out, with all of the cars that are coming out, with the new lineup that AMG Mercedes is coming out, what is the place for that SL world?
There will always be a place for the SL. There will always be a
why
place
when
for
you
the
can
SL.
Almost like you can buy an S65, A63,
but some
like
people,
coupe.
But some people don't want that. Some people don't want the pop.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Mercedes is slowly. I think they're slowly shooting themselves in the foot with the SL. I think you're right. Here's why.
I know I'm your yes man, but
you want to know why? You want to know why? Because first off, with the SL, they're getting rid of the hardtop.
Correct.
They're no longer doing the convertible hardtop.
They're not?
Soft top. No. Yeah.
But that's okay. They don't need that.
I don't think so.
What are you talking about? Then you buy the S63. The whole point of that car was the hardtop.
Yeah.
Period. That's the only reason why I got the one I had.
And I'm sorry. The soft tops, man, they're just...
They're ugly.
I don't like them.
Period.
I don't like them.
I hate looking at that Phantom with the top on.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do?
Make it a hard top.
But you're killing the hard top. It's not that easy.
But why is it not?
Because you add weight. You add a tremendous amount of weight, complexity.
You're not taking it on the track. What about that weight?
Because when everyone's downsizing.
No, but now these systems are like 50 kilos, dude. They are. I think they're just going to kill these cars. Yeah. It makes no sense anymore.
You guys
want to
make a bet? Do you guys want to bet the SL will not be killed? For the next 30 years.
Well, they
$100.
No, it's going to be gone within 30 years. I'll take that too. All day.
Done. Farshad's going to owe us $300.
I mean, I can't say.
No, 100, you split the two.
I can't say 5 years because they're already saying that it's going to last until 2020 because that's, you know, they're making that transition to soft top. So,
guys.
After
but
that.
They're killing it all. They're killing
there
it
There are so many dentists, mistresses, doctors and these types.
But I feel like now that the soft top's available, they can. The dentists are now starting to get the S coupe.
No, because that's a four, no, because that's to grandpa. That's a grandpa car. To grandpa, the SL is not a grandpa car.
I don't think grandpa's still alive if he thinks that's that car.
That we should ask Yvonne how many SLs they move a tremendous
you know what?
Amount of SLs.
You know what? We should ask.
Okay.
I think we got to go tomorrow. Yeah. So we'll ask tomorrow.
The SLs are going to be around for a long, long time, my friend.
Okay. I don't see it happening, Pargini.
Absolutely.
I don't see it happening, Pargini.
Honestly, Farshad, I feel bad for you on this episode. No. The comment section
is
just
going to
get I can't wait. they know all the diehard people who understand Mercedes, the lineup, and what the role of the SL is.
I was a huge SL fan. Huge.
And
huge.
I got an idea.
It doesn't even make me think about the car with all the cars that are Mercedes available.
True, because you're not a dentist.
I'm telling you, as someone who can, I'm sorry, like a total tool that can go in and buy whatever car, yeah. I don't even look at the SL anymore.
Because that car's not made for you. That car is not made for you.
So with Mercedes cutting off the SLC series and the SLK,
yeah,
there's another company that's also cutting some things out.
Who?
And it's BMW. Oof. It's BMW. So if we haven't already stirred up the pot already, I think that this is our moment. But
okay,
we just found out that the VP of sales and marketing for BMW's performance series, which is the M line. They're getting rid of manual transmissions in the M3 and the M4.
I don't think that's a good move for them.
I don't think it is either.
Because the only they're selling all these guys on the ultimate driving machine, and what? Without a manual on the ultimate driving machine.
Wait, because it's harder to do burnouts. It's harder to do spin out of control going out of a car meet.
No, I think they can still do that with the as long as BMW gives them the torque.
That they
off
need
the top,
okay. They need,
they're good
okay.
to go.
Yeah. So their VP of sales and marketing for the M line, they just spoke to the Drive magazine in Australia, and he was basically alluding like, how far will the dual clutch transmission go? How long will the manual last? Like it doesn't make sense for us right now, just because mainly automatics are getting better and better and yeah. smarter every single day. Like they're still in what I think a 6 to 7 speed dual clutch transmission, and there's automatics that are now in 8, 9, and 10.
Oh, Mercedes so, got yeah. so many speeds too, yeah.
Yeah, so they're just saying when the automatics have the features or the advantages that the dual clutch has, there's no need to do these dual clutch because it's more complex.
Yeah.
No, hang on. You haven't touched on that. You're just talking about the manual one going away.
Well, they're getting rid of the manual and the dual clutch transmission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's predicting in 5 to 7 years the automatic will be so good you won't need a manual or a dual clutch.
I would love to hear from people that are educated on that.
But he's also saying
to tell me how the hell is the double clutch transmission going to be eliminated for the old regular sequential
single clutch automatic.
Yeah. How? Obviously, it already made a change to the dual-clutch one because the technology is way better.
Exactly. So he's just saying it's going to come back around.
So what he's saying is that someone's still developing the old VHS tape and saying, exactly. at some point, yeah. this shit's going to be
catch
so
on.
Legit.
Yeah. No, it's like... It's
your
like,
MP4s are going to be shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm dead serious, like, because that's the way it sounds, no? I'm not being
I don't completely get your metaphor that you're doing.
Well, here's the deal. Say automatic transmissions, right? Regular automatic, not dual clutch. Wear a VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
And the dual clutch would be a DVD player.
Okay.
Would you agree? Okay. A DVD.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're going to discontinue the DVD to bring back the VHS? That's what they're saying.
I guess I'm just not following. I'm not following. I just
the regular automatic transmission was yeah. completely replaced by double clutch transmissions where it was available.
Which did things better, faster.
So the dual. Yeah,
so why are you telling me that the replacement that's already better will be worse?
Because what's happening is that. But it's not old technology anymore. Like the theory of it seems like it's old technology, but it's not. It is smarter, faster. It's more durable. Most importantly, because that was the thing with the DCT.
They're not there yet.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no,
you're promising me that the VHS will be better than the DVD.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet.
But Russell, this is what he's saying.
Does that make sense?
Let's say a dual clutch today.
I see what you're saying.
Let's say a dual clutch today. I'm just saying it's a $4,000 part.
Yeah.
Just because it's complex. There's two clutch, blah, 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 all this stuff. And your regular transmission is $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's saying this $1,000 transmission will eventually, in 7-8 years, catch up or even be better than this $4,000 transmission.
But the $4,000 transmission came out of nowhere to legitimately eliminate the $1,000 one.
Correct. Correct. All he's saying is this is on track also.
I just don't understand.
But you got to understand a dual clutch transmission and a regular transmission that has a torque converter, there is a different
feel.
There's a different.
Obviously.
So, like in a minivan, you can't put a dual clutch transmission. You got to put a 10-speed regular traditional.
Yeah, and that's the problem that he said that they're having with theirs is one, because of that durability, like they can't even go over 450 horsepower with that DCT because it just can't.
Oh yeah,
there's
a lot of limitations to it. So that's why the Aventador hasn't gotten one.
So that's why it's having a hard time.
Yeah, and it also he's also saying, oh man, I hope these older transmissions can step up and come up, so we don't have to go develop 1,000 horsepower.
And they don't want to because they were looking at American. This is funny enough. They even went and looked at manual, not manual. They went and looked at American transmissions.
Yeah,
and they realized that. Such they're garbage like, and crap. They're like, yeah. They're like, well, we can't do anything with this. Like, they considered putting an American transmission in their next line of.
Oh no!
Yeah. That.
Oh no!
So that didn't go well. But they do anticipate that the next line of M3 and M4 is the next generation of them. Will not have the manual or dual clutch transmission.
Do you think that'll affect the brand as the ultimate driving machine? Advertising.
I think without the manual, it will, because it'll save more lives on the street.
Also, I think what it'll do, I think what it does is makes the Fast and Furious franchise a little more difficult because you can't keep going like this and shifting.
I promise you, if there's anybody that'll figure it out, it's Mark.
Mark will figure out how to do it.
Okay. Of course, mate.
How many manuals are they selling? 1%, 2%.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I feel like
I see what you're saying about that. I see, because there's two demographics here that you're looking at in the M3 and M4. I think within the M3 and M4 line, I think that there's a high percentage. I would say 40%.
No way. I'd say
10%.
Okay, whoever has access to the numbers at BMW, let us know how many manual M3s and M4s you sell compared to the automatic. What's the percentage? I say it's going to be 5%.
I don't know. I'm just getting skewed in the numbers in my mind, because I immediately, when I think of a three series BMW, I think of a college girl, a college dorm girl. Whenever I think of a BMW 3
Wow,
series.
That's really creepy. So a college dorm girl. And hang on, how specific is it?
This is just a sorority girl.
What's her name?
Probably Daisy Dukes in a tank top. She's getting ready to go to Rush.
Is she single?
Where does she live?
I don't.
Do you have her number? No, is she on Instagram?
Guys,
how many followers does she have?
Now, is she on Tinder?
I'm frazzled, guys. They got in my head. I'm on tilt. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I forgot what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
No. He's talking about like what he thinks.
No, but I immediately think of those, and so it's throwing me off. And I know that there's a big cult following within the M line because of the manual that's still available for the M3 and M4.
If there's not at least 15% of people buying, that's going to be a high number. I think you're right. 5%.
You got to realize this. You're
saying 5%.
Yeah, 5%.
I agree.
You got to realize this.
5 to 10.
For BMW to bring the M3 and M4 here with a manual and a automatic.
Automatic.
They have to go do testing.
Yeah,
you
got
to do this. At some point, it's just like not worth it financially, or the headache for whatever the percentage is that want manual.
Yeah, you're right. And the percentage can't be that big.
And here's my suggestion. Okay, just get the CGT and the thing, and Mark will start doing videos of how to drive your CGT like a manual, and he'll show you how to do it. He can do it. He's shown up. He backs up like
he knows how to do it.
He's shifting gears in reverse.
Listen, if he was able to get Pedro in there, and Pedro goes, "Is this a manual?" That's more than good enough.
3 minutes into the ride, Pedro goes, "Is this a manual?"
I couldn't believe how many times like he was upshifting, downshifting.
And that's an M5, people.
Just in your neighborhood at 50 miles an hour.
And he was doing it so aggressively, too. Like, it just blew my mind.
When you got the skill, you can do whatever you want.
And Mark's got the skill, the M skill.
And he also's got the M skill to make it look even more epic when he does it.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
The ultimate driving machine.
So jumping into some Porsche news.
Yes.
Yeah. We already talked about the GT3, but there's also some grumblings around the world right now where a lot of the dealerships are upset that the Panamera is still a four seater. And honestly, I didn't realize that it was limited to a four seater.
I didn't know that either. I thought they were making the five seater.
Yeah, I thought that existed, but apparently it doesn't. And they want five seats, and it makes sense that they have five seats. And I don't know why that they don't, because now I don't want one. I need five seats.
I would say you can only make it. And in my opinion, in my view, a not five seater when you're making a luxury car that needs a seat that reclines and you're so comfortable back there that you can get away with not putting the middle seat.
But we sat in the back of it in New York. It kind of had that.
It's not going to give you the ride of a Rolls. It's not going to give you the ride of an S-Class. It's not going to give you the ride of those like epic cars that you take on the back so you can chill.
Yeah,
you're not going to buy that car to sit on the back.
And it doesn't. Who are you stuffing back there? Honestly, who are you stuffing back there?
Kids.
Yeah, but kids. They do make it so like executive like it's very like luxurious in the back, but it's not plush, right? Like it's very sporty, luxurious.
Like it's like if you worked at a bank, and yeah, everyone knows your name, but no one gives a shit about you. Like, right. Yeah, still, I'm gonna send the car, pick you up, and then right. bring you here. Like that's what it feels like. If you're making like it feels mm-hmm. cold.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
It does feel cold. It feels cold. I want the back seat to be warm. I want it to be warm.
I agree with you on this one.
What happened to this in our world? Why? What has happened to the back seats? I'm about to start a movement about back seats.
We're making them smaller and smaller so we can buy more cars.
This car's not a back seat car. Like
why?
With the slope. This is not your
were you able to fit in perfectly fine in there?
The middle seat guy is going to be screwed.
There's no middle seat guy.
You want to be the middle seat guy? But there will be a middle seat. There will be a middle seat.
No, but why?
If they make them.
But why would you be so screwed?
Because you have the sloped.
The slope is there on both sides.
I just don't think...
The slope is actually probably higher in the middle than it is on the sides.
I don't think they're going to make this car, and if they do, it's going to be for China with the extended wheelbase.
No,
they're going to make it for America.
No way.
Americans are the ones that need this car.
Yeah.
As a foreigner, I can tell you that's
because two people will be sitting in the back, and we're overweight, and we like our bodies to overflow into the area.
There you go.
Okay?
Why don't they do a four-passenger overflow seat? Right?
But so you're saying just making a four-seater for fat people.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, here's the movement that I want to start. I want us to get back to where we're having sex in the back seat.
Oh, whoa. Okay,
What happened to that?
Count me in.
What happened to that? You know what I mean?
I like this. That used to be a thing.
You go pull over on the side of the road, hop in the back seat with your girlfriend or whoever you're with. No.
Or whoever you're with.
If you grab her Enforcer in the back seat, that's probably a crime.
A great app. Let's make an app. Roadside backseat.
Hang on. You're saying that someone's going to have an app that they have their own car. They have their own car, and they're offering their car for you
No. Are you ready? Okay, so you're the girl, you sign up, right? What you see is the guy in his car, and you swipe right or left.
You're making a dating app that's focused on men and cars and saying that the girl's the one that's going to swipe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Farsha. Good luck with that.
Hey, you piled
or vice versa.
So you're saying that the girl's going to be offering sex in the back of her car.
So here's so if the girl is the one that's having to take the pictures of inside the car, so now we have Farsha all of a sudden who's having to decide if he wants to swipe left or right on all these girls in a BMW 3 Series.
Oh,
yeah, that's what's
happening.
That's it.
If she's fly, I'll consider.
Any BMW. By the way, every Tinder date that he got at first was with a BMW.
Oh, and a white one. And even the last one. And I'm not kidding, guys. Even the last two
incredible
white BMWs.
What are the odds of that?
You've actually had more than that. I feel like you've told me three or four.
Yeah, I think there's been three or four. There's been like three or four.
Wow.
All white BMWs, no joke.
You're just like Pedro, but with sex. So Pedro gets picked up and dropped off.
My Uber. Anytime I call an Uber, it's a BMW. Yeah, you're right.
And then I didn't know
what you're talking about.
You in exchange for sex,
a white BMW.
They pick you up in a white BMW. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Farshad's new app called Roadside Reach Around. So
that's
is that going to be the name of the app?
By the way, another free idea, everyone.
There you go. All right, so we were supposed to talk about the Dodge Demon and slightly apologize for not being as prepared about the Dodge Demon two podcasts ago, but. Oh, well, apologies not coming today. We're going to hop right into Farshad's headlines of the week.
Here we go. Okay.
We're ready for
you. Bring it on, Farshad.
Okay, here we go. Some Kia news.
Kia.
Someone kissed a Kia Optima for 50 hours to win it in a contest. Listen, man, I've kissed a lot of Kia Optimas in my life, and I never got anything close to that. They had a contest.
What?
They had a contest. Your lips had to be... Whoever had their lips the longest on this Optima without removing it won the car.
The question here is...
Wow.
The question here is, did they clean the car before?
Oh.
And how many people had their lips on the car at the same time?
That's what I'm thinking about. Like,
that's disgusting, no?
You got to
pick the
Optima.
Right spot. You got to pick the right spot, though, because if the arrow comes in there a little too quick, it's going to ruin.
I would win that bet, no questions asked. I would let myself fall into the hood, dick down, right? Like belly down, I'm sorry. Belly down, kissing the car. Whenever I need to take a piss, I just put a bucket underneath me.
Wow, all this for a Kia Optima? You think you can afford a Kia Optima?
I actually don't know what the Kia Optima looks like.
I have no idea either. Some Apple news.
Yeah.
I would love Apple news.
Apple uses Logitech steering wheels and pedals to control autonomous cars. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried pairing a Logitech product like a keyboard, a mouse, speakers, a router?
It's
like,
impossible.
This can't be right. It's impossible. This cannot.
I hope they're not doing it via Bluetooth.
It's all Bluetooth. It's Bluetooth, man.
Their universal remotes like drives me nuts.
Guys, this is not a good sign at all.
I haven't used a Logitech product.
That was a good throw, by the way.
Ever since I had my mouse pad that I couldn't sync with my computer.
There we go.
But I thought that was the PC, not the Logitech. But yeah.
The Logitech.
What's a Logitech?
I'm from Mexico, asshole.
You said that like a cholo. But this like, is what hey, Logitech.
Saying. Last time I tried my Logitech equipment was in Mexico.
Logitech.
That's how long ago that was.
All right, guys, some Uber news.
Okay.
Uber announces flying taxis in Texas and Dubai by 2020.
Of course in Dubai,
I swear if these pilots talk to me in the car, I swear to you if these pilots are in the car talking to me.
What if it's the same? Hang on. What if it's the same, but now Uber picks you up and the guy has a microphone and he starts talking to everyone that's in that on the plane or whatever that is.
So next time you come into the Uber, you got, hey, guys, what are you doing? So what do you for work? I actually don't drive this as a living. I actually just do this for real estate.
It's why you have to tell me that, dude.
You take my car for your next purchase.
Get the fuck out of here.
This is one Uber that I'm not doing the Uber X for.
Oh.
Give me the most expensive. Give me the bigger expensive one.
I agree with you. Hey, Farshad, that was a great one.
Thank you.
That was a
great one. How about your Uber driver the other day at New York that asked for a tip?
No. You're making a huge mistake. He demanded a tip.
He cornered me and Alejandro. We both looked at each other like, we don't know what to do.
You give me money extra. And I was like, what? He's like, extra money for bringing you. If you want. I was like, what? Here's my... Don't worry about it. Like, fuck this.
Yeah, I hope he lost his job.
But it was one of the most enjoyable rides we ever had, but not because of him, because of us.
No, we were dying laughing that morning. That was a great Uber ride.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Go on.
I got to tell you a story about Jimmy.
Go on.
Some interesting news. Are you ready for this?
Hit me.
Okay, you got to listen very carefully, okay? China's Trump Chi, which is the name of a car manufacturer.
Hang on. There's a car manufacturer in China called Trump Chi.
TrumpChi.
Trump Chi. Okay.
Now that we know this, I'm going to read this again.
One more time. I'm sorry. I'm just blown away by this.
China's Trump Chi might change its name for U.S. entry. It's the most beautiful name in the world.
Guys, I'm not making this up. It's called Trump Chi.
I would never change. Hang on. If you want to bring your car from China here and it's already called Trump, you're done. All you need to do is tell the president you're doing it. He's like, it is the most beautiful car I've ever seen.
It would be the easiest import process for any car in the world, and they would sell so many in the South.
It's not rocket science. All you need to do is, you know, give it a little bit one of these. He'd love the Trump Chi. He'll be like, Trump Chi, Trump Cha, Trump Chu. He'll be trumping the shit out of those cars. Hell yeah.
Moving on.
Sounds great, though.
Okay, some Fisker news. We're going to end this with some Fisker news. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Fisker confirms eMotion launch in August with 400-plus mile range. Now, here's the list of everything that's being promised. Hold on. You ready for this? Okay, here you go. Working prototype to be revealed mid-2017. I just want to remind you, we're like 5 months into the year. I just want to remind you.
Hang on. That's like in a month.
Yeah. By the way, this is all like official from Motor1.com.
And he's saying working prototype.
Working prototype. Revealed. All right. Okay. Okay.
What? Hey.
Okay. Hold on.
But working to what sense? the door opening?
Yeah, okay.
Let's get to that right now.
All right. Delivery timeline to be announced mid next year. Next year. So that's going to be a public announcement number...
Mid next
press
year.
Release two, right? Three?
I think that's going to be like, hang on. Okay.
Estimated 400 miles of range.
Okay.
Okay. 161 miles per hour top speed.
Okay.
Okay. It uses graphene supercapacitors, not lithium ion batteries.
Okay.
And we'll have a carbon fiber and an aluminum construction.
So what we now know is that's everything that will not be a part of the car.
Wow.
Hey, guys.
Wow.
What you just heard, like Pedro just said, he will not deliver on any of this.
I just stole your joke. I'm so sorry.
Farghini, can we just dissect this one?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know what I did last night?
What?
I was scrolling through my Facebook, and I saw someone posted that article, and I screenshot it. And I didn't send it on the group chat, right?
No.
And I just started laughing by myself. I'm sorry. And I was going to send it to you guys. I guess I forgot.
Yeah.
But 400-mile range. Hang on. Fisker confirms eMotion. It launches in August, right?
Yeah.
This August.
Yep.
Okay. And they're saying that the working prototype will be revealed in mid-2017.
Yeah. But we're already like mid-2017.
We're basically there. So okay. He's got a chance right here. To go back and say, well, it works. It's the prototype that works. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it works.
Like, the door's open.
No. Like, if you look at it, it works. Like, that.
You're going to say, it works for me.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This works.
Yeah.
For me.
Oh, my God.
So, look, there's an out there. So, there's the out there. The delivery timeline announced mid-next year.
What is that? Why are you telling me?
So, here's the deal. Anyone can announce anything next year. I think he can still, like, deliver on these promises.
Okay.
So right here, he's one promise that he can deliver on. The delivery timeline announced.
Because that's just an announcement.
Because it's just an announcement.
It's a free announcement.
It's a free, yeah.
It's a free announcement.
This is bulletproof so far. Estimated 400-mile range. So we won't be able to tell this one.
I love the word estimated.
Hang on. So we won't be able to tell this one until the car comes out in, like, 30 years. 161 miles an hour top speed. We won't be able to confirm this one.
That's not too hard of a thing to do.
Either.
By the way,
the graphene supercapacitors. Now, I know someone that was doing like graphene batteries.
Yep.
And it never worked, right?
No.
Like, it's a problem with graphene batteries. Yep. They just don't work. So this is going to be an interesting one. And then carbon fiber and aluminum construction. Can you just throw me any other generic thing that is he going to put four wheels on the car?
That's groundbreaking.
It's going to have air conditioning, by the way. Groundbreaking air conditioning.
No, so he's not committing to tires. He's not committing to tires yet, because if it takes 30 years to make the car, it may be flying by then.
So in all honesty, we're the losers here on this one, because as long as he's got some kind of prototype that shows up somewhere and he goes, yeah, this works for me.
Yeah.
He's going to deliver on every single promise until he delivers a car, which could be never.
I'm surprised he's not making paint color options.
anyone knows who's backing him at this point?
No idea.
The government's not backing him.
No.
Tesla's not backing him. I'm going through all the people.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, who's putting the money for these? Because obviously creating a car company, car company is going to be a little expensive.
So far, this doesn't cost him any money. This is just a press release. None of this, my friend, none of this has cost them a dollar. You know that, right?
Hang on. How about this? And this is with you guys knowing. Whoever's listening to us right now, just know we'll be trolling the world. How about we get someone to make us like a concept car? A render.
Yeah, a
couple renders of a car. And we just start telling people, we start doing announcements. That announcements will happen later.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And we build our own car based on these announcements.
I wonder if this is what he's trying to do. I wonder if he's trying to gain interest and get someone to put a deposit down.
This is all this is.
But hang on. Maybe there's a backer out there, because I haven't done my research, so I'm not going to just put that foot in my mouth. But how does that sound for us? Should we announce a car next week?
For sure.
Okay, so... Again,
so we're starting a car company?
We're starting a car company, and we're following Fisker's footsteps.
I'm so excited.
Are you guys excited? Yeah,
we're going to have the most amazing announcements. I don't know about the car, but the announcements.
These announcements are going to make the White House announcements look fucking silly as fuck.
And on top of that, we have the best clickbait title now for this video. We're starting a car company.
there we go.
So I'm sorry, guys.
There we go.
I'm sorry, guys.
Now you know how we're starting the car company and why.
By the way, when you say, does he have a backer? Yeah, he has a backer. And the backer was like, hey, do me a favor. Put some releases out. See how many deposits you get, then we talk.
Listen, here's $100,000 in expenses.
Yeah, go make a rendering.
Go make a couple of announcements.
You think Jimmy will come work for us?
I don't know. know why whoever his backer is from New York.
Guys, that's all we have for you today.
Wait, I got one more.
Come on.
I have a new segment. It's called Free Idea Fridays. I'm just going to give people free ideas they can do. Okay, you ready for this? I'm still on the scales. All right, new scale idea. Okay?
This is the second one, okay. By the way, if you're still following up with this.
Okay, the dial that you read your weight is a licensed speedometer from your favorite car company, like Porsche, Mustang.
Perfect.
So go get the license. All you got to do is get some scales that have the odometer, a speedometer, like kind of readout, and pop in a...
Done. So you're saying anyone out there can now take your idea,
your original idea. Yep. And I want nothing
you're
for it.
You're so kind, Fargie.
Great. So basically a product that mostly females use, you're putting a male concept to it. That means it's just going to go on clearance at Best Buy pretty soon.
Hey, cool. I'm not putting a dollar into this.
That's why it's a free idea Friday.
Yeah. If you can make it work, please.
All right.
Take us there, Pedro, please.
Guys, that's all we have for you today.
Believe it or not, incredible.
No, guys, that's all we have for you today. There are many ways to connect with us, one being through salamandra.com. Memberships on the site allow us to continue to do this show and provide you with fun, ridiculous, and sometimes informative content. Thanks so much for all the amazing topics, suggestions, and free ideas that you sent to us. It was incredible to read all those emails, and we want to thank you for being such dedicated and loyal listeners and supporters. So please don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're not on Snapchat. Also email me at hitapedro@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys. I'm Pedro. That's Farshad, and here's Alejandro. See you next time.
Oh, my God. Thank you, guys.